Hello OMT3701 students, I'm Mrs. Van Hoopen, your lecturer for OMT3701. In this podcast, we'll be looking at the formulation of linear programming or LP models as they are commonly known. This topic is covered in Chapter 4 of your study guide and Chapter 8 in the 10th edition of your prescribed book by Render Steenhanna. If you use the 11th edition of Render Steenhanna, you also have to work through sections 9.2 to 9.4. You have already covered this topic in OMT2601, so you are familiar with the work. I want you to revise the work and make sure you are able to do the formulations. We are going to extend the LPs to integer and goal programming models in an upcoming chapter, so you need to be skilled in the formulation of linear models. I want to make sure you know the basics of formulation. There are specific points you have to pay attention to. Let's get started. The single most important aspect of formulation is defining your decision variables. If you do it correctly, it will help you greatly in setting up the objective function and the constraints correctly. For each formulation, you have to define your decision variables explicitly by writing them down. You have to write, for example, let T be equal to the number of tables produced per day. You do get marks for defining the decision variables, which means if you do not write the decision variables with the definition down, you will lose marks. Also, did you hear in the example of let T be equal to the number of tables produced per day that there are units involved? I did not say let T be equal to tables. You have to say that we are talking about the number of tables. If you only say let T be equal to tables, then I wonder, what tables? White tables, big tables, lots of tables, cheap tables, multiplication tables, what tables? You have to be very specific. In this example, there's also a time unit involved. This may not always be the case. Carefully look at what is asked and given and define your variables accordingly. It'll make a difference to the formulation if I define T as the number of tables produced per hour instead of per day. If the question asks how many tables should be manufactured per day, then I define my decision variable per day and not per hour. Once you have defined your decision variables, you can write down your objective function. Remember, the objective function has to be either maximized or minimized. Usually, but not always, if it is a maximization problem, the objective function will be a profit function. If it is a minimization problem, the objective function will usually, but not always, be a cost function. If you have defined your variables correctly, writing down the objective function becomes easy. If you are working with a profit or cost function, make sure every term has the same monetary unit. Next are the constraints. Usually, the constraints are inequalities with a constant value on the right-hand side. This constant value will have units, say for instance 150 available hours of carpentry time per week. You have to make sure that whatever you write on the left-hand side of the inequality must be in the same units. If they are not, you have to change one of the sides to make them the same. If I have defined T as the number of tables produced per week and it is given that it takes 240 minutes of carpentry time per table, then I cannot write the constraint as 240 times T is less than or equal to 150. Why not? Well, on the right-hand side I have the available hours, and on the left-hand side I have the required time in minutes. That cannot be. I first have to change the units on one of the sides to be the same as the other side. In this case, it will be easier to change the 240 minutes to 4 hours. It is essential that you check the units to be the same on both sides of each constraint as you write them down. The last step in the formulation is to add the sign restriction or the non-negativity constraint. Remember, we are working with physical problems. Negative values of physical quantities are impossible. You cannot manufacture a negative number of tables. Therefore, all decision variables must be zero or a positive value. We combine all decision variables in one constraint and set them greater than or equal to zero. Please think when you write this constraint down. I do get students who write that the variables must be negative by writing that the decision variable must be less than or equal to zero. Again, you do get a mark for this non-negativity constraint. Omit it and you lose the mark. Now it is time for you to do a few LP formulations on your own, keeping these basics in mind. This brings us to the end of the podcast on linear programming formulation.